Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message. How many of you remember a character named Dennis the Menace? Anybody? Yeah, whether it's the comic strip or the movies. You know, here's this kid, and you know he's a punk as soon as you see him because he's got that slingshot just hanging out of the back pocket. And anytime that you see a kid that has a slingshot hanging out of the back pocket everywhere they go, you know that kid is just up to no good. Like, there's no way that anything good is going to come about as a result of someone walking around with a slingshot 24 hours a day. And yet, that's what we see Dennis the Menace doing. And in one particular cartoon, after hearing yet another one of Dennis the Menace's smart aleck remarks, Margaret, do you know Margaret, that little girl with the big glasses? She looks at Dennis the Menace and she says, "Don't you ever think before you say things?" To which he replied, "No, I like to be just as surprised by what I say as everybody else." Now, normally, for me, I'm pretty careful with the things that I say. You know, I oftentimes won't end up speaking because I'm so busy thinking of, if I say that, then they're going to respond either this way, that way, or that way, which means that I'll have to respond this way, or I could respond this way, and I just end up not saying anything because what do you say when you've got that dialogue going on in your own head? But every now and then, I've come to this place where, you know, maybe I'm really tired, and so I'm feeling a little grumpy, and the brain's not running quite as fast as it should be, or maybe the person talking to me is just being belligerent, and I'm going, "Man, I gotta say something about this," or maybe it's just that I'm trying to be funny, and my wife will tell you, if I'm trying to be funny, you don't know what you're going to get. I'm really bad when it comes to trying being a witty person. And so in these situations, oftentimes I end up kind of eating my words. I say things and I go, "Oh no, did I really say that?" You know, and sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's like they probably think I'm an idiot now. Or other times it's like, "Man, like I saw their face fall. I hurt them right there." Other times it just feels like I dropped the ball. Now don't leave me hanging here. You've all done it too, right? Like stuck your foot in your mouth, right? Just not literally, that would be funny, but see what I mean? I'm not funny at all. But we all do that. We all come to this place where we're like, "I said that and I really shouldn't have. You know, I said that, I didn't think about it. What on earth? Why did I do that?" And so we all know from experience that words can be damaging. Words can be painful. And maybe you've been on the receiving end of painful and damaging words. More than likely, at least once in your life, you've been on the receiving end and you've also been on the giving end of these hurtful words. The problem is that this type of speaking, this type of behavior between individuals, especially within the church, is not what Jesus wants to see. How many times does he tell us in his word, in the Bible, that's not the behavior that Christ followers should be displaying, that we should be getting along with one another, encouraging each other, building each other up? And yet how many people have left churches because they think church is a place where I go if I want to be hurt? Right, I'm going to get just close enough to these people for someone to say something mean. And it's going to hurt. Rumors and gossip and all these types of things, they abound not only out there in our community, but also within the church. That's really not the way that it should be. It's not what Jesus would have us do. Today we're in the third of 3 weeks as we go through chapter 2 and the first part of chapter 3 of the book of James. And we've been talking about the change that occurs in our lives when we begin to follow Jesus. See, when we follow Jesus, some people have gotten this idea that, you know, you pray a prayer and you invite Jesus into your life. And so Jesus is going to be something that you tack on to everything else that already exists with you, but that nothing really needs to change except that now you've got Jesus hanging on. You know, he's coming with you. But that's not what it is at all. In fact, when you begin to follow Jesus, it's not that you're inviting Jesus into your life, but Jesus invites you into his. He says, "Come and follow me." But too many of us have been living our lives like there's no change necessary, like no change is going to happen. Yet James makes it very clear that if your faith is genuine, if you truly are following Jesus, you can't be the same today as you were yesterday. You have to be progressing towards being like Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that we all are going to end up these perfect people walking around and everyone's going to be sick to their stomachs because of how perfect and awesome we are. That's not it at all. Talk to any Christian who has been alive for any amount of time. They will tell you they are not perfect unless they're lying. And so we've talked about how what we think needs to change. Our prejudices have to go out the window. We talked about how what we do needs to change, right? Faith without works is alive. It's dead. It's dead. And so it goes without saying, I think, that if we have to change what we think and if we have to change what we do, the next thing that we need to change is what we say. That what we speak has to change. We can't continue to say the same things that we did before we met Jesus as we do now. Now, I'm not saying that if somebody comes to faith and, you know, previously, you know, they were dropping the F-bomb every second word and, you know, their language was colorful, that, you know, oh yes, you know, they pray a prayer and then the next day they're going to come to church again or the next week and all their language is going to be cleared up. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's a progression. Remember, if today you're the same as you were yesterday or 6 months ago, that shows that there is a problem because we should always be moving more towards Jesus. Now, when we mess up, he forgives us. But that doesn't mean that this change doesn't need to happen. So today we're going to be looking at James chapter 3. And if you've got your Bible here today, you can turn in your Bible with me. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version today, but whatever you have is great too. It'll also be on the screen behind me. Or if you'd like to be able to take notes today and follow along with our message, on your mobile device, if you go to that URL, www.ascc.life, you'll see there's a message notes card there, and you can follow along and email the notes to yourself that way. So let's read what James, the brother of Jesus, has to say. Chapter 3, verse 1 in the book of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image and likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Will you join me in praying this morning? Heavenly Father, I just ask that you will make us receptive to what you want to speak into our hearts today, Lord Jesus. God, that you will take everything that we hear today and that we will internalize it, that we will process it, that it won't be something that's in one ear or out the other. And likewise, that it won't be something that we hear and we say, well, Pastor Stephen said it, so it must be true. But that we will examine it for ourselves and ask you, Lord Jesus, to begin to speak into our hearts, to show us what it means. So God, today, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one of the things that always kind of blows me away about James is just how he gets straight to the point. He doesn't mince words. He's not like, well, except in this circumstance and except in this circumstance. He's like, no, the tongue is bad. He's like, your words are dangerous. Like, he just gets in there and says these things. And to some of us, I mean, maybe it's a little bit offensive, right? We're not used to people talking this way to us in our culture because we're Canadian. We're nice. You know, we don't directly hit the nail on the head. We walk around the nail a couple times and circle it until it drops itself in, right? That's the way that we as Canadians work. We don't take hammers to situations very often. But James, he takes the hammer and hits the nail on the head every single time. And what James is really saying is, he's saying, what you say is powerful. What you say is powerful. He's like, you know, the tongue, it's small, but it's like this little rudder on a ship. And even though the wind is blowing this big, huge ship, it's that little tiny rudder, the movements that it makes, that move that ship around. Or he says, it's like that spark. This is applicable right now with how dry it is, right? It's like that little tiny spark. You think there's no big deal. It's just a little spark, right? Or the guys that are smoking on the road, no big deal. It's just a cigarette butt. And next thing you know, the entire area is on fire. That's the power that your words have. They have power to sway people one direction or another, don't they? I mean, that's the reason why people talk. It's to get to know each other, but it's also to try to bring someone over to your point of view. That's quite often what we do. Your words, they have the power to destroy reputations. Have you ever had your reputation destroyed by the words that someone spoke? It's not fun. It doesn't feel good. Your words, what you say, it can hurt others. What you say, believe it or not, it can hurt yourself. It can hurt your spirit. It can hurt yourself just in being able to get a job. Like, if you mouth off to your boss, you're probably getting fired, right? It hurts yourself. It can get you into trouble in an instant. I don't know if there's anything that you can do besides speaking that can get you in as much trouble as quickly. Well, that's probably not true. I can think of a few things now that I think of it. But it's, you know, you can get in a lot of trouble with the words that you say. Now, on the flip side, your words have power to do good things. And I think that James is kind of making this point here, too. He's like, listen, we got to guard our tongues because they're powerful. And generally, our tongues are going to get us in trouble, but they can do good things, too. They can create relationships, right? Your words can build other people up. Your words can make people look at you and say, I understand you. Your words can get you out of trouble. What you say is powerful. We need to be watching what we say. Because if you just go around willy-nilly saying like this, that, and the other thing, whatever comes into your head, if it reaches your tongue before you have a chance to say no, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. You say is powerful. And so you might be thinking, okay, well, if what I say is powerful and if I've got to watch what I say, well, that's really easy. Then I just won't say anything bad. I won't say anything that gets me in trouble. It's all going to be fine. I'm just going to say, nope, you know what? I'm going to fix it. Well, James also says that what you say is hard to control. We saw there, he says, every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And so you may be thinking like, well, that's fine. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to start speaking perfectly from this time forth. I challenge you to set a timer on your phone. And when you say something dumb, press stop. You know, some of you just leaned over and talked to someone, now you have to press stop, right? It's that's how hard it is to control what we say. And so some of the things that we run into while we're trying to control our words is this. You may speak falsely. You know, James, at the beginning of this, he says, not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. Now, as a teacher, it's a big deal if I start teaching you things that are wrong, right? It's an even bigger deal if I purposely twist things and lie in order to teach things that are wrong, that work to my benefit. And so talking falsely is one of the ways that we run into issues, and maybe that's just lying. You know, oh, pastor, I don't really lie. Just white lies, and those are totally okay. That's why they're called white lies. You know, oh, it's okay, pastor. You know, yes, okay, I keep things from my spouse that they really, really, really deserve to know, but you know, it would just be so awkward to bring these things up, and it's okay, pastor. You know, or you go out and you're just like lying to someone just because, or you're spinning a fake story to paint yourself in a good light. So you speak falsely. It's just an example of how hard to control your tongue is. Or how about this? You speak hurtfully. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? I kind of alluded earlier that I'm not a very not very good at saying nice things when I'm extremely tired. And there's times where, you know, maybe the kids have been up all night, or what am I saying? I sleep through everything. So, you know, that's more so my wife that has to deal with that. But, you know, I'll go to bed late and then get up in the morning, and I'll just be grumpy and, you know, see something out of place, or someone says something and the word just rolls off your tongue, and instantly you want to take it back because you're like, I just hurt them. Right? You speak hurtfully. Some people, they speak hurtfully because they want power. So they want to be able to tear people down, put them in their place to show that I am better than you. I am stronger. I am more powerful. I can walk circles around you. You know, they want to dominate the people in their lives, and so they speak hurtfully to put them in a lower place. What you say is hard to control. You speak falsely. You speak hurtfully. Or how about this one? Nobody here struggles with this. You gossip and you slander. You gossip and you slander. Let me define these for you, because I think it's really easy to look at gossip and slander and go, those are complicated terms that I apply selectively to what other people say about me, but never about anything that I say about others, right? And so let's look at what slander is. Slander is saying untrue and hurtful things about someone else. That's pretty simple, right? So essentially, if you lie about someone else, or if you paint someone in a negative light when they shouldn't be painted in that negative light, if you aim to hurt people through untrue things that you're spreading around about them, that's slander. It's bad. Don't do it. Well, that one there, you're probably thinking, that was easy. You know, I don't make up stories about people. That would be a really mean thing to do. I'm a nice person. Well, let's talk about what gossip is. I got two definitions for this one because I wanted to make sure that everyone's involved here. The first one is saying negative things about another person that doesn't need to be said. You ever been there? Saying negative things about another person when they don't need to be said. Here's another way to put it. Whenever someone says something negative about someone else to someone else who isn't the person they're talking about, when saying something to that person isn't part of the solution to the problem. Let me say that again. I'm going to say it really slowly. Whenever someone says something negative about someone else to someone else who isn't the person they're talking about, when saying something to that person isn't part of the solution to the problem. So what that means is it is not gossip if you are in an abusive relationship to go to the police and talk to the police about what so-and-so is doing. Yes, it paints them in a negative light, but it's part of the solution to the problem. However, it is gossip to go over to someone who maybe knows the person in a roundabout way, or is in no position to fix anything, or who doesn't need to be warned against something that could be detrimental to their faith because of that person, and you say, did you know that so-and-so did this? Did you know that my son likes to run around uncontrollably and that he just doesn't listen ever? That doesn't solve the problem. He thinks that's funny. So we have to be careful. We have to watch the things that we say. Does it need to be said? You know, is this something that you're just saying because you want to build yourself up, make yourself look better than the other person, and so I'm going to tell negative stories about this person? Or is it actually that by telling this person these things that there is going to be some kind of solution brought about? What this means is that if you've got a trusted advisor and you're not sure what to do in this horrible situation, you know, as long as you're not like, you'll never believe this evil, 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 do you hear that? They're evil. So what I'm about to tell you, it's all about them and they're evil. But as long as you're coming and you're saying, so I'm not sure what to do in this situation. Can I share this with you? That can be helpful. Now, that doesn't mean that you sit down at coffee with 20 friends and you tell them you'll never believe what so-and-so did. I need your opinion on this, all of you. And feel free to share it around. I mean, don't, because that's bad. But share it around. No, gossip is whenever someone says something negative about someone else to someone else who isn't the person they're talking about when saying something to that person isn't part of the solution to the problem. Now we can all think of times where someone has gossiped about us. And we know the pain that caused. The thing about, have you ever gossiped about someone else? And I know for most of us, the instant reaction is no, definitely not. But think about that definition there. Have you ever gossiped about someone else? So your words are powerful, and what you say is hard to control. But fortunately, we're not just left out there with no hope. No, God hasn't left you to deal with all this stuff on your own in your own strength. See, in James 1, verse 5, James wrote, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." If you lack wisdom, I can't think of a better thing to apply wisdom to than to what we say. If you lack wisdom about what you say or what to say, just ask. And so here's what I want you to remember, and I made it rhyme so that it's super, super, super easy to remember, okay? Here it is. Pray before you say. You know the whole think before you speak? We're taking it to a more spiritual level, and we're saying, pray before you say. Why don't you pray first and then say that with me? Pray before you say. Feels like an episode of Dora, doesn't it? Not enough parents in here. So what does that look like? I'm praying before you say what that looks like. It doesn't mean that, you know, someone's talking like, hang on just a second. Oh, Heavenly Father, for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to be just coming before you right now because I really need some. That's not what that looks like. Okay, if you do that, just don't. Okay. But see, nobody said that prayer has to be a long thing. And I believe that in the moment that you pray about what you're going to say, I think that just that action of beginning to pray, that it changes something in you, that it dedicates what you want to say. It dedicates your thoughts to God. And so as you pray, and it can even just be a God, just give me wisdom. Or God, I have something I want to say. Is it okay? And just let that be a pause. And let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart before you speak. Now, we're human, and we're still going to mess up. We're still going to say things that aren't great, and we're probably going to forget to pray before we say every once in a while, every lots of once in a whiles as well. But the great thing is that we serve a God who says, I'll forgive you. I do forgive you. I've already forgiven you. And so when you make a mistake, just repent of it. What does repentance mean? It means saying, hey, I'm sorry, and I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to go the other way. That wasn't right, and I don't want to do it anymore, God. Right? And so pray before you say, but understand that sometimes you're going to mess up, but God, he forgives you. And God, he's not looking at you going, I'm done with him. I'm done with her. You know, that was one too many time not praying before you said something. It's not the way that he works. See, we've all been in those situations where we've said something, where somebody has said something about us. We know the hurt that's involved. And many of us have felt this hurt within a church, within many churches sometimes. Maybe you're in this place and you're on the edge of saying, you know what, I'm done with church. These people, I can't handle them anymore. What we need to understand is it's not everybody else, it's also us. And so I want you to imagine with me, what would it look like if you and then everybody else in this room and maybe spreading out, what would the world look like if people began to pray before they said things? Just think about that for a second. What would the church look like if before people said something, they went, does this honor God? God, is this glorifying you? God, will this build this person up? God, I have to speak into a negative situation here, but Lord, will this bring this person to reconciliation or will it cast them away? What would happen if we prayed before we spoke words to one another? So this week, if you think about that and you're like, I like that, I like this idea, I want to do this. This is what I want you to do this week. This is your take-home assignment for the week, preferably for the next 30 days so it becomes a habit. Ready? Here's what I want you to do. Take a moment and pray before you say. If you're not writing anything else down, grab a pen, write on the little piece of paper in the seat back in front of you if you have to, and write that down. Take a moment and pray before you say. You know, write it on your shoes or something so that when you look down, you remember. Pray before you say. Think about the difference that that'll make in your life and the lives of the people around you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we're not in this alone, but that when we follow you, when we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, when we place our trust in him and say, Jesus, you're in charge. Lord, that when we do that, your Holy Spirit comes to live within us and guides us and comforts us and gives us help. That your Holy Spirit empowers us. And Lord, when it comes to the words that we speak, I think this is one area, Lord, where we need your help, where we need your power. And so God, I just ask that each one of us here today, that we will take these words to heart and that we will begin to pray before we say. And Lord Jesus, just remind us. And I ask that when we do that, you will help us. And Lord, when we fail, help us to remember that we are forgiven and that nothing will ever pull us away from your love. Because you care about us like no one else can. You sent your Son to die for us because of the things that we had done, because you cared so much about us. You wanted to bring us back into the presence of our God. And because of that faith we have in Jesus Christ, we are adopted as children in the family of God.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.